All right, welcome back to another episode of Team Talk. You know, we've got Simi again.
It's Victor,
Vash,
and Nina.
And literally, we've just wrapped up watching the Belgium versus France game. So, what's your guys' thoughts on that?
Oh, Mbappe ran the game, beginning to end.
Mate. Literally ran it so quickly as well. Pace.
First ball out from France kickoff was to Mbappe.
What, 16 seconds
in? Just gave us a
little bit. Literally from the get-go, he was already in first gear, essentially.
Plus, I think France were really smart with all the shithousery going on. I mean, let's call it game management for the, you know.
But at the end of the day, you've got to do it. It's a World Cup semi-final. It's got to happen. And Kylian Mbappe, for 19 now? Or is he still 18? 19. For a 19-year-old to be bossing a World Cup on a stage like this, for me, if he wins the World Cup, I say he's world class.
I think this World Cup confirms it, to be fair. Because I don't know any other young 19-year-old that has done this kind of caliber of performance.
Apart from R9. I think,
to be fair, we forgot Nigeria's goalkeeper who did quite well.
But the one looks like 37.
He's 19 times 2.
I think because nowadays, like with all that social media and stuff, I think the tag of like world class is applied like far too
loosely.
Really should be reserved for world-class.
I think a lot of it as well is just a gender as well, because you've noticed on social media anyone can say anything and just generate a conversation.
Mbappe, he's done so well. From the first game, he was the most likely player from France. Like, other players in the team that should be stepping up, Ousmane Dembele.
And also,
where is he now?
If we go back to the beginning of PSG season, when we looked at how they set up with Cavani, Neymar, and Mbappe, I wasn't sure how Mbappe was going to do out on the right hand side. But it seems like he's literally just getting the space to flourish, to move into channels and beat the offside trap. But as soon as he does that, it causes the teams to go on the back foot. I've opened this space up for himself or for his other teammates as well. So
it's not just there to do damage. With him, it's not just his pace. It's more like what he does with his pace.
He's
very, very, he's such an intelligent player. Where just his starting position before he does a run, it's so good. And like, it splits everyone at the same time.
And the thing is, that kind of movement there is something that you kind of get coached when you get into your
20s.
It says a lot
about his development and what he's going to do.
Because a lot of young players get a lot of extended coaching, especially strikers,
to learn that kind of movement, and it's very hard for you to look at Belgium played today, look at Lukaku.
He was nullified.
His movement is not static, but it's all, like Nino said earlier, he's always on his heels.
Mbappe is always on his toes,
so he's always ready for
the next thing.
Maybe look at Mbappe when he receives the ball and he's about to take on the man. What does he do? The first thing, he stands them up. He might check one way to see what they're saying, and then next thing you know, he's gone. Like, he's sizing them up, he's putting them off balance, taking them on. Players like Neymar, Hazard, you see them do it all the time where they stop, walk slowly to the defender, and then next thing, drop a shoulder, bang,
quick
gone.
Of pace,
but Mbappe will drop the shoulder and run the same way that he dropped the shoulder too.
Because he can take it.
But another thing I've noticed about Mbappe is he started on the left with Monaco. And like, everyone just thought, left winger cutting in, that's his games, that's his style. The next Henry, same as Martial, all of that.
Look at him on the right. The way he's playing now on the right makes him very unpredictable, because the fact that he can play on the left, he did at Monaco, now he can play on the right. I'm not sure how he is up front on his own.
He's done that at Monaco as well, but
he played in the two. I don't think he's going to be that good on his own, because
he's a very reactive player, but he's very, very, very good reactive player. Because if you look at his goal against Argentina. Like, just that starting position, just for him to start like and score that goal in the end, just shows that he's such a good player. Where like his starting position or where he ends up, because most players, some of them like on the counter attack, they'll start off really well, but they'll end up like making the wrong movement, instead of drawing the defender.
But Mbappe, he's almost like he's making the right decisions.
More often than not, because obviously every time like there's footballers do lots of like bad things, but more often than not, if you do good things, you get good rewards. Well, like, if you do bad things, you get bad rewards.
Speaking of bad things, though, like what one for Belgium? They had that.
I think the game. I think the occasion got to themselves.
And also, I think in like a lot of, for me, this is what I saw personally. I think a lot of the attacks were, well, it started to break down every time Dembele got the ball. I kept seeing, Dembele would get the ball and he wouldn't really do much of it.
Yeah.
He'd either hold on to it for too long, or, and you know how in Dembele's passing range isn't too great either. So he'd pass it to the player that's been obviously closest, has already been nullified by the French attacker. So I think a lot of their moves broke down through him. He didn't really offer much today.
I think another thing is that Dembele didn't really play that many minutes in this World Cup. They chuck him in at such an important stage.
I found that quite weird. When I saw that he wasn't starting and Witzel was starting next to De Bruyne, I thought, okay, I see the thinking behind it. But for him to be thrown in, like you said, at such an important time.
And also, I feel like Martinez as well was not sure how to really get the best out of De Bruyne. I mean, the very first few games we saw De Bruyne playing as one of the pivots. I mean, no, in Man City he technically wasn't a central midfielder. Him and Silva were 3-10s with the two wing backs cut tucking inside, creating room for them to move. So the setup is different.
At times, you did see De Bruyne playing in a deeper role. But I noticed that with Witzel there, Witzel was the one that's supposed to be doing the cleaning up.
But Witzel didn't really do anything
on the ball. So he's literally just getting the ball and doing a 5-10 yard pass.
Yeah.
I think Witzel was basically a waste of a player.
He was a passenger.
If you started at the start of the tournament, I think if they started Dembele, they'd have grown in confidence within the tournament. Yeah. And then that would have given them the potential to flourish.
Let's not even forget
as well, like Fernandinho, when he plays next to De Bruyne, he still offers something.
He's always there to offer support when needed.
But Witzel didn't offer
anything. There was nothing there. Like, you look left to see Witzel, you look right to see Fellaini. You think, what the hell am I going to do?
We like to go on Fellaini's back. He likes to jump on us and elbow us, whatnot. But he actually held up his own. He didn't really do anything bad. In any game that he came on, he got an equaliser or winner. Like, he didn't really do bad. But I think they missed Munya in this game against France.
I think they've
on the right.
They didn't apply a lot of pressure to what was France's weak points.
Yeah.
Well, like, Pavard can be get out. He's solid, but he's not a lot of teams
haven't actually, you know, turned up and also threatened Pavard much.
Yeah.
Because he's a weakness, but he hasn't been exploited at all.
I have to say, what I've noticed when they play, because recently they've gone to three midfield, isn't it? Griezmann drops in, Giroud up top, and then it's Matuidi, Pogba, and Kante. So there's still the three men there. Them guys span across the width of the pitch, so it'll be Pogba on the right, Kante right in front of the defence, and then Matuidi on the left. So I think what they've done there is offered more protection to Pavard, to Lucas Hernandez, so they can actually get forward and get back.
They did have a really good game today as well.
Yeah.
But certainly Kante. Between the two of them, they covered so much ground that they let Pogba. Pogba, a lot of the times, he was in defensive positions, nullifying Fellaini. But once Fellaini went off, you could see Pogba got on the ball more and played
a little bit more room.
A little bit more freely. Yeah. So I think that. That's one of the reasons I think Belgium struggled with that, the midfield battle, which I think they lost. And it wasn't like they tried playing or not, but they just didn't. With Dembele there and Witzel there, who gave, like I said, he gave nothing. Like, nothing like going forward at all. Like, with Hazard being isolated.
That formation was a bit weird because they showed that at half time where defensively it was a back four.
Attacking,
it was a back three with Chadli pushing on. Yeah. Whereas the left wing back per se in that formation would have been Hazard.
It didn't make sense.
It wasn't balanced. It was very imbalanced.
So basically, if Belgium was trying to break now, Chadli, for him to go support, he has to, instead of slotting on the right back position, he has to run all the way, even though he hasn't played. Like, I think he's played like two games.
In that regard, that also at the same time, you need to also consider the fact that I don't think Belgium have any decent level fullbacks apart from Jordan Lukaku, who's decent.
They don't.
Apart from Meunier, they haven't got anything else apart from that.
But But I'd rather play Thomas Vermaelen, who knows how to play.
No, that I wouldn't. Maybe
not against Mbappe, but like, come on, you basically left Mbappe 1-on-1 against Vertonghen.
Yeah,
like,
but Vertonghen and Vermaelen are quite similar in the sense that Vertonghen can play left back as well.
But Vermaelen is more agile. That's the thing. Think about that on the turn. Vertonghen might as well be Martin.
Either way, Vermaelen's made out of glass, though.
Either way, let Mbappe break him as long as they don't score.
But I think either way, Belgium should have had, like, if Witsel is not on the pitch to be centre defensive mid, he should double up with Mbappe every single time.
Yeah,
like when
offer that protection.
Yeah, like when Hazard had the ball and Kante was on him. It's so like, rash. Why is he on the pitch if he's not going to double up?
Yeah.
And because you know you have a weakling there. Mm-hmm. Every single time that Mbappe had the ball, he would test. In the first minute, he tested Vertonghen and what's it called? He tested that side of the pitch, and he knew he was going to get joy.
Can you imagine
for the last 90 minutes? For
like
the next
you
90
do
minutes.
That do you know? In 16 seconds, yeah. 1 6 seconds.
You know, I think that's down to the whole game. I think it's down to Deschamps knows these players, whereas Martinez is still getting to know
his players. I think 26 games is enough. Look at how he does. He's a centre mid, not a CDM. I get that, right? So Dino, you know that from watching Belgium, yeah, from watching them play, for watching them play for his team.
Yeah.
Martinez has seen these Donnies train and also watches them and talks to them and knows, and as coaches watch them. Like, he knows more than me and you, that's a fact, because of the exposure that he has with this team. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he's made that decision, I wouldn't say he knows. Yeah, yes, he knows less than Deschamps. Deschamps has been with this team for how many years now?
Yeah.
Like, and everyone knows Deschamps likes to play the same team. Yeah. That's why it doesn't mean to make too many dynamic changes. But Martini just made a mistake, personnel-wise, picking Witsel ahead of Dembele.
But again, I think it's Belgium are a victim of their own talent, because there's so much people. They're a victim of their own talent base. That it's so hard to fit everybody in a certain system.
He would have done so well in their midfield. Yeah. He's exactly what they needed. Yeah. Someone I know, Nangolan is one of the most banging. Yeah. Like, he's so banging going forward. Yeah. But if you need him to clear up for you and defensively sweep, intercept,
as they clear up,
He covered the ground.
You see the midfielders they had before. They had like the Rossis that were just sit. Once the Rossi was starting to get agey, Nangolan.
But remember, Tour was Nangolan's later end of Roma's career. He was pushed further forward. So Roma started to play 3-4-3, and he was one of the two just behind Jeffco.
But I think that was more to do with them having to score goals, because they've always been okay defensively, but going forward they struggle, especially when Jacko doesn't get the against that bigger team, when Jacko never got the reception service that he needed. Like, he was always isolated, so then putting Nangolan up, he sort of became like a box to box midfielder, which is sort of what Belgium needed.
That's exactly what they needed.
But okay, to be honest, for me now, that's neither here nor there, because he wasn't at the World Cup, they didn't choose him, they wondered why they won't, but I think they could have given a better account for themselves. It wasn't a match.
I'm still sticking by the fact that Munya being suspended in this game messed up their shit. Because think from Munya not being there, they've pushed Chadli from left wing back to right wing back.
Yeah.
They've made Hazard
left
winger back. I don't know what kind of, and
you're right, because essentially if you've been watching Mooney at PSG, his delivery is really good.
Yeah.
So Chadli wasn't offering much in terms of delivery and in terms of being his man.
Even this World Cup.
So then which if you notice who was the false nine, the Napoli false nine? Mertens. When Mertens came on, Mertens' role was essentially just being outlet in terms of getting the ball into the box.
That's not his game. He wants to be in and around the area, creating chances, not being 50 yards from the goal, trying to cross it in.
Yeah, overall, I don't think Belgium lost this. I think the coaching staff for Belgium lost the game to them. They didn't set them up to
because the talent level.
I agree, but it was half and half.
It wasn't Thierry Henry, it's not your fault.
He knew it was there. It was Martinez.
There wasn't a big disparity between both teams. Essentially,
no, there wasn't.
There wasn't. You know, right. It was just little
a set piece.
It was literally
a set piece.
There you go. A little detail that decided the result.
Yeah.
And that's usually what happens in big games.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That, so.
Yeah, I think from Puyol against, I think, I'm pretty sure it was Germany in 2010 World Cup.
Yeah.
When he's had it from the corner, basically put him, I think it was in the same final, or the final, one of them.
Yeah.
Things like that will win.
They didn't kind of, Italy won the World Cup 2006 and they scored them from the most set pieces.
Yeah.
And that's when
Cannavaro
won that door. So that means it's coming home, lads.
And to be fair, this is sad for the Belgian team because this current crop, this is their last chance.
You think?
Mm-hmm. It is.
You know, let me explain.
If we look at their ages range, right?
Yeah.
A lot of this bunch have actually grown up together, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are approaching 30. By the time of the next World Cup, right? The company's not going to be there. Vertonghen may not be there. Alderweireld is not going to be there.
Because Alderweireld is 29 or something. He can still be there,
but again, a lot can happen in high level football in four years. You know, De Bruyne is going to literally approach his peak, so he'll still be there. Hazard will definitely still be there, but it will be his World Cup. So some of the bunch will still be there, but it's going to be a new crop of Belgian players, probably the ones that are on reserve or in the under-21s, that will probably make it into the actual...
I mean, I'm glad that you've just mentioned
Tielemans, because that could have been a halfway midfielder that Belgium needed. So you know how with De Bruyne, him dropping back, wasn't really working because he wasn't fulfilling his defensive duties. Whereas you've got Tielemans, which is a proper CM.
The only game
that can actually sit down, dictate play from a different position.
Me personally, in the World Cup stage, I'd rather play Fellaini. I'm not a fan of Fellaini. I support Arsenal. He's headbutted and kicked my players, and they've taken it. But Fellaini would be the most effective because he's going to do the nitty gritty. Like, he's not a flamboyant player, so the only time he's going to get up there is support for headers and stuff like that. So I'd rather someone that I know is going to do that job. Whereas Youri Tielemans, he's still attack minded. He still wants to go forward. He'll come back and do the job. But he's similar to Witzel.
But from what I've seen, because I've actually seen Tielemans live when I used to work at Tottenham back in uni times. Yeah. So when Tottenham. It was for the peas, man.
Get out of here!
So, essentially, when I watched, although it was one or two games, because it was still Europa League back then when Tottenham were playing, he's a very attack-minded player, but he can sit and dictate when need be. He's not the best in terms of tackling, but he offers a lot in terms of build-up play from a deep position, and he's not going to neglect his defensive duties. So someone like that could have been useful. It's either him or Nainggolan, like we just said. I think Martinez made the wrong decision there. And also, if we contrast the Belgium team to the France team, I think the France team, there's so much scope for improvement. Because they're not even at their 100%.
It's a very new French squad. Like, very young.
Can we think about it? Koeman, was he there?
No.
How old is he? He's like 22, 21?
I think 21 or so. Lacazette
is still 26. He can still play the next World Cup.
And what's also unique about the France squad is now is that they've got a whole array of players with different skill sets that they can play literally any single style.
Yeah.
They can play position, they can play counter, they can sit off, they can... You can attack.
They've got a good mix.
It's a good mix.
Something's to be said for two.
It's just the only
second tournaments.
Yeah,
and you made two finals. Granted, you didn't win the Euro Championships.
Yeah.
But for you to make a World Cup final, like, come on.
To make
the core players that you have. Yeah, I wouldn't say any of them are at the.
They're not at the very best
that they will be. Like, when you look back at their career, this is when he was the best. They're not there yet.
I reckon the World Cup 2022, that's when we'll see, hopefully, if Deschamps or whoever who's going to be managing
there
will get the actual formula right. I reckon we're going to see like a peak peak France squad.
But that's the thing, we always assume there's going to be a team that they'll live up to the potential.
Which we hope
that's Belgium now.
Yeah, that's Belgium now. Yeah. And Brazil, we thought the Neymars will step up. Yeah. Gabriel Jesus is ready.
Gabriel Jesus Willian is missing, I can't lie. He should have been dropped after this.
I think Gabriel Firmino. He offered nothing for the Brazil team.
I'm shocked because he's an out and out. He is a striker.
There was a few moments where he got the ball within the 6-yard box, able to beat a few men in order to sniff a goal, but he couldn't do it. Neymar, do you know what? Gabriel Jesus and Neymar, you can see it from the pictures, you can see it in the squad. Yeah. Them two are quite close in the Brazil squad. I feel like Gabriel Jesus knows that it's Neymar's legacy, that he's the top boy, he's the one that's supposed to fulfill his potential. And I feel he played into that a bit. Those times where he needed to like shift it and have a shot, whereas he'll shift and then go for the reverse pass when that's not his game.
A lot of it also as well, I don't know if you guys noticed it as well, but at the beginning of the tournament, Neymar was a little bit further away from goal. He was still left wing, but
towards the byline
a little bit more. He held on to the ball a bit more. Had a little bit more combinations with Marcelo on that side. Mm. Wasn't until when Marcelo got injured when he kind of moved a little bit more forward, because I guess Felipe Luis hasn't got the same. He hasn't offered the same thing that Marcelo offers. Yeah. So
I think overall Neymar hasn't had the best.
He hasn't had a great tournament.
But then again, I don't think
we're giving the benefit of doubt because of his injury.
I feel like it did affect him. Yeah. I feel like he rushed himself back. He said that in an interview that he tried his hardest to be fit for the tournament. Yeah. That people don't know how many hours he's put into it prior to like just being here for the first game. Yeah. But I feel he let himself down because there's moments where there's simple things that he should have done. Yeah. Like just make a pass. Yeah. But he wants to hold on to it. He wants to prove himself. He wants to take on 20 men. But you can't. You're not fit enough. And Coutinho just gets it and shifts it and then calls it top bins. And then Neymar thinks, that's the guy I want to be.
Mm. If anything, the star of the tournament for Brazil was like you said, Coutinho.
I think
a lot of teams underestimated that because a lot of the play was focused around Neymar. A lot of teams were focusing on the front players, whereas Coutinho, he came on, he'd lurk on the edge of the box and come in late. And by the time he gets the ball,
playing, like when things went to Neymar, like Brazil was a bit more stagnant. With Coutinho, he kept it rope.
Because Neymar wants to slow it down, take on the man, he tries to slow it, pick up, slow it. But at that point, sometimes he should have just gone for it. He kills the intensity of the game. Whereas Coutinho doesn't stop. Maybe see when he stops, he literally stops and starts again.
Coutinho kind of slyly did what Golovin did for Russia, where they get the ball and they literally forward thinking. They're thinking, okay, what's the next move? How do we create a combination play to get a goal? You know, so
yeah, I think as a whole, I think this World Cup has been one of the, if not the best one.
Shocking. It's the best World Cup I've ever watched.
I think it's the best
one. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't expect much from it because the past two World Cups that we've watched, like some of the games have been boring. Yeah. I think France and I wanna say Denmark.
That was the first nil-nil that we had.
Is that the only nil-nil we've had? Technically, if we don't count, a lot of the teams'
first matches weren't that great. It was almost
the big boys.
It wasn't until they played the second game that's when they kind of got.
Even then, I'm not gonna lie, some of the big boys, like big shocks with like
Germany, Spain, bottom of a group that consisted of South Korea, Sweden, and Mexico.
I mean, the Germany's problem was their style, they played so narrow.
Yeah,
you know, like they literally didn't know what to do.
I think with them, they, simply put, even though they were like the favourites to win, I mean, if you ask anyone from before, you could see how they were having stagnant results, even from the Confederation last year, when this team didn't even play then. It was all youth, and I even noticed
when they played the Mexico,
it was
so evident in this Mexico game where they essentially played so risky. You had Kimmich, literally, he was a winger with Cruz and Kadira. They were both obviously meant to be the same.
That's one thing, the two pivots,
but they weren't doing the pivot job. Yeah. Essentially, you know, Kadira's literally lost his legs.
Yeah. Kadira has always been known as a box to box. He's not a CDM. Yeah. He's actually not.
You know what?
He's a defensive box to box player. Like you have the attacking ones like Ramsey, but
He's a defensive one, yeah. Like a Kante.
But the thing is, when he's bombing forward, trying to force things to happen because it's not happening for the team, you're leaving Toni Kroos. Yeah. He breaks that running pace. Like, yeah. How can you defend against pace like Lozano? Yeah. Players that are frightening on the counter. Kroos isn't getting there. Like, there was even a counter-attack where I can't remember the team that scored against Germany. But he tried, like he really did try,
even their centre backs as well. They had a degree of guilt as well because even Boateng or who knows, they hang onto the ball.
Nicolas Sule was the best defender.
I like Sule a lot.
He came. He didn't even play that long, but he was the best centre back for them. Boateng suspect, Hummels always suspect. Hummels against Pace
and Boateng was well. They play together is a calamity. Like
the problem is that they're both short. I think the reason why is because they're very similar. They do the exact same job.
They're playing centre backs. They want to push forward.
They both want to push forward. There needs to be one that's going to push forward and one that's going to scoop up from behind.
They play for the same team.
Guess what? Nicolas Sule starts most of the time.
They need to be balanced, one needs to push forward and get the ball right, and the other one needs to cover from behind.
In comparison to that, if you look at the frame side with Umtiti and Varane, Umtiti is the more aggressive one. Varane is the more sweet. I wouldn't say he's a sweeper because he does get in headed, but he's more like he's a cleaner.
Yeah.
So like he's more likely to be able to.
I think that's how him and Ramos play, because you see Ramos is the aerial threat, and Varane's got the legs. There's the amount of times you see people going in one-on-one with Keylor Navas.
Is Varane the fastest CB in the world?
I think he could be. Remember that run ages ago that he went on the right wing?
Who was it against? It was in a chance.
Atletico. Wasn't it Atletico?
No, but I think it was against someone.
It was against someone.
Yeah,
Evan is sprinting past them.
Yeah.
Varane is very good.
I think he's world class. You know why I say that? Because look how long he's been no Real Madrid centre back, and he's not even 25.
And it takes a lot for a centre back as well. It's such a young age when you mature, like
30. No, leave it open in that. 3 years. He's been there 3 years.
Was it PSG?
And the thing is, he literally came from obscurity because I don't remember.
They bought him as a youth, basically like a prospect.
And I think he just developed too fast.
That's crazy. But to rest, even problems with big teams like Germany and even Spain. Like, Spain never really got going from the first game.
The thing is, Spain looked that they were good. Like they were,
so they bought him, they bought him in 2011. Yeah. So that's 7 years?
I don't think he didn't play.
Let me go check the stats if he's played. Okay, so 11-12 season, he only played 15 games. Season after that, 33. So, and that was the 2012 season. Which means that, how old was he then? Six years ago.
18, 19. 18, 19.
Wow.
Hey, 33 games. Well, respect to Varane. Yeah. He's got many, many years at the top as well.
But I think about this. In the first or second game, I think it was the last game in the group stages, in fact, they started resting players. They're still big names in the field. I think Pogba was still in the squad. Matuidi was in the squad. Giroud in the squad. Varane was captain. Griezmann was still in that squad as well.
Varane was captain.
The only person that he's the vice captain at the age of like 23, 24.
23, because he's 25 now.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Props to him.
Yeah. I'd say he's one of the best defenders of this generation already.
He is. He definitely is. What's it going to take for a defender to actually, apart from Cannavaro, win Ballon d'Or?
You know what it is? The landscape now of football has changed. I mean, look at the rise of social media as well. For example, when we see Ronaldo score a hat-trick, we see how it goes off on social media. We see how all these accounts, sports brands, see how they overanalyze the whole thing. Yeah. You know, so
I think non-football watchers as well. That's the thing. I think that's what it is as well. Yeah. I saw so many people from no offense to anyone who's American and does follow football, but obviously there's quite a few Americans.
You know, you're a bloody Yoruba boy, man.
But I've seen like these American celebrities like, damn, that was dope, Ronaldo. It's like, mom, you don't watch football. Like, stop. Like,
but they understand. The thing is, football is such a simple sport that you, when you see something good, you know it's good.
Yeah, of course.
But people don't see the defensive side as good. Like,
I guess it's because also at the same time, people don't have, the general public don't have a proper understanding of football properly.
Yeah.
So
wait, but neither do us.
No.
We have a football podcast.
No, but you get where I'm coming from though, because for example, an average person wouldn't really know what Kante's job is.
Yeah.
Did you get what I'm saying?
And they wouldn't really know. Ball here, nigga, over
there, they just see him as a little
like Mr. Popo.
Mr. Popo. But yeah, you know. Right, whereas right. If you're actually understanding football, if you're actually someone that understands the game,
yeah, properly, but the people that vote for Ballon door
and journalists.
Yeah, so then no, I don't think for a while we're gonna see a lot of like defenders winning. Or for the simple reason that we have so many good attacking people just waiting in the wings after Ronaldo and Messi, good attacking players that will compete with each other. It's not gonna be Ronaldo, Messi, and then big gap, and then everyone else. I think even with the attacking player, everyone's going to be so bunched up.
That's why.
That at the end of it, it's just going to be the person who either scores the most goals, or
the most outrageous, or wins the most accolades.
Oh, yeah, at the end, it's not going to be like, best performance.
There's players in other positions that do stuff that equally isn't like amazing. Like, every time I watch De Bruyne, I'm amazed.
Yeah,
like even today against France, he didn't have the best game, but there's passes. You see the pass that he split a defense like it was FIFA. Like Umtiti and Varane, world class defenders per se, playing for Barcelona and Real Madrid.
Yeah,
gapped them. Oh, unfortunately, Lukaku was sleeping, but gapped them. Like it's just amazing seeing a pass that.
And that's why I'm happy with the whole Messi Ronaldo era coming to an end, because now football can kind of return to normal, where essentially
I see where you're coming from.
I want it to be like that.
Return to normal where there's not
because we, you know why? Because we, because I feel like I'll be upset, but we can actually, you know what is, we can actually appreciate the players that were underrated before.
But the fact that we're calling them underrated, isn't that already saying appreciate them in a sense?
Yeah.
Saying like, listen, like the only reason why they're underrated is because the bar isn't even like. About, because the bar's not here no more. It's however, the bar weren't there, you guys would be one of the best.
Yeah.
In fact, despite players stepping up once Ronaldo and Messi retire, the bar's been set. Like,
we're always going to compare.
He's good. He's good, but he's not Messi.
Forever.
And then, forever, people are going to be like, oh, yeah, we can compare him. Like, oh, he looks like a little mini Messi, or he looks like a little mini Ronaldo. There will never be. I don't think.
We'll have to see. It won't happen anytime soon. We never know.
But the sustained success and of those two makes it hard for anyone to pass it.
And lastly, what is the prediction of the England for England?
Shame on you!
Okay, this one is. I think it's a tough one to call, because if you think about it,
go wrap up quick.
We got England with a more balanced squad.
Yeah,
and then we've got Croatia with world-class players in certain positions, or decent players in certain positions. So, like, we go from top to tail. We got Subasic, decent keeper, better than Pickford. We got Lovren. Can we even compare him to the other two? Like, our centre-backs, he's probably a bit below some of them, probably better than Maguire.
Yeah,
and then we've got, like, Modric, Rakitic, who are way better than any midfielders that...
I would agree.
Then I think Croatia's problem is they've got an overwhelming amount of great centre mids. Like, they've got Modric, they've got Rakitic, they've got Brozovic. The imbalance is in the midfield. Like, they've got that Rebic has done well in this tournament so far. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Perisic, Bula, Mandzukic, you know what he can do in his day.
Yeah.
But then, there's positions such as Strinic at left back that I think lets them down a bit. Vida can, on his day, he can get ripped. Like, he can
I think a lot of Croatia's problem is because of the high quality of their midfield, they tend to end up playing obviously, you're going to end up playing possession-based play due to the midfield. But the quality up front is lacking.
Yeah, I think they are lucky. I'm confused as to what type of role Mandzukic has been given because I don't think Juventus is like a winger.
No, he's more of like a.
The thing is, inside forward
without the dribbling.
But his starting position play is the left hand side. Yeah. Higuain's in the middle.
Yeah.
It's almost like he does that for Croatia when they need.
When they need a focal point. Because he's become so used to it. Like, he's become accustomed to it. But I've noticed that he's been more central than it obviously is for Juventus because that's his actual position. But. Perisic as a winger, what does he like to do? He likes to come inside.
Yep.
This Rebic guy that's right mid or right wing.
And the thing is, I don't really like. But the thing is, even Rebic, okay, I get he cuts inside. He's been playing okay, but he's not that great.
No, I think he's been one of the best. Like, I think if I'm a team that's playing Europa League and needs a right winger, I would be looking at him because he looks like he's got the pace, he's got the technical ability. He's got the know-how, but if he's coached well, he's only 22, 23.
Really?
He's still young.
Mm. I can't lie, to be honest. I think we can take Croatia for the sole fact that they really haven't impressed anyone performance-wise apart from the Argentina slapping. Yeah. That's it. Both of their knockout games have gone all the way to penalties. Even though they had all the star quality and blah, blah, blah. All it takes is for one free kick, two corner, Harry Maguire, John Stones, Harry Kane, get in the net, mate. Set piece central is coming home. And then against France, I think we could take them as well because France haven't really showed too much.
We'll have to see.
Maybe not get too ahead of myself.
Croatia first.
Yeah, I think the battle will be won definitely. Like Nina said, in the midfield.
Yeah, but
we cannot play Henderson by himself.
Henderson might be injured for it though.
If Henderson is injured for it,
we're fucked.
We already fucked if Henderson was playing by himself. You think about it? Think of Henderson up against Mandzukic. Sorry, up against Rakitic. Modric and the other centre mid, the other.
But you need to understand also, Croatia have struggled against teams, right, that don't actually hold on to the ball. Let Croatia do their thing. Yeah. The moment they lose the ball, hit them on the counter. Have the important players in certain positions.
Mm-hmm.
England already have that with Lingard, Sterling, Ali already.
All of us before the World Cup. The way the World Cup has to go for us is we have to let teams have the ball and we have to, what's called, we break on the counter.
Yeah.
Which is essentially what this team is set up to do.
And a lot of Croatia.
Exactly. All this time we've been playing, bar the Belgium game, which we might as well be a write-off, we've had more of the ball. Yeah. And so, like, we haven't really seen the
show
like,
style
base.
Yet.
We could play in our hands, but then again, we've played so many games, we've been on the front foot.
I'm not for this style, balava. Like, it's all well and good having over 50.
Let's get to the fucking final, 50, mate.
55% possession, but 72% of our goals have come from set pieces. And 80,
nothing wrong with 80 that.
I'm not knocking it, but don't start talking about how well we've played in our style when our goals have come from free kicks, corners, and penalties. Let's face it, we are shithouse. It's England. We get our nuts in there, mate.
I don't mind the shithousery.
I don't mind it, but embrace it.
Yeah. Let's think about it. I think we came into this tournament thinking that we're going to play some kind of possession football with the back three. We came into the tournament. We tried to do it in the first game. We implemented it against Panama and Belgium. We did it, but it didn't work because we played a weakened team anyway. Yeah. But I think once we start the game well, but I think the nerves creep up on the players. I think the set pieces
are early goal. We need an early goal,
and we can get comfortable. But even then, we get too comfortable. You start seeing them doing 1-2s to each other when they should be going for another goal. I feel like these English players, because of the way they've been brought up, the football culture they've been taught, they just relax. They take their foot off the gas. They feel like we're the Premier League footballers. We've got this under control. We know about games management. Panama, all these other South American teams and whatnot don't know games management. But I feel like they're underestimating it in that respect. And I think the set plays, some of them have been intentional.
Of course.
Others have just been pure luck, as you would expect. But I don't think it's something that we could go into the semi-finals relying on. I feel like the game is going to be more. One thing we really need to be doing
that we saw in the first game was press aggressively. I saw Lingard and Ali winning the ball in their final third, basically, and playing. That's the type of formation and setup that we have. I didn't see that in any other game.
And the thing is, Croatia will be a team that we could do that against because If you see Rakitic on the ball, Rakitic is so comfortable on the ball that sometimes he overcomplicates the game. Modric, obviously, you can't. Modric, obviously, you can't do that to because he's just his ball retention is too good. Man. But I feel with Lingard, Sterling, you can nip in there. And Kane versus Lovren and Vida, come on.
Okay. Yeah, man.
That's a mismatch. He should do his thing.
And on that note, we're going to wrap up now. So, wish the boys success tomorrow.
Coming in.
You know, I need to find somewhere to watch that, man. I need to go to the pub somewhere, get away somewhere.
Hyde
so.
Park didn't want to see us. Hyde Park didn't want Team Talk London to
But thanks for listening to the pod today. Follow us on Twitter, Team Talk London. If you want to follow us on our socials, it's already on there. So
It's coming home!
It's coming home. All right.